Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl, and this teaching is out of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. We are going to find out about being faithful. And Hebrews is about Yeshua the Hebrew, how he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament covenant. It was embodied in him. He was the Torah, the Word made flesh. Father, I thank and I praise you. Holy Spirit, come in Yeshua's name. Open up the revelation of your Holy Word to us. Let us handle it, rightly divide it, and open the scroll, Lord, and let it become flames of fire and glory in our hearts as we proclaim your name and your sonship of Yeshua, the apostle and high priest of our faith. Amen. Thank you for joining me. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. This through 6 discusses the faithfulness of the Son. Therefore, holy brethren, that's us, partakers of the heavenly calling, that's us again, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So here the author is gathering us together and putting our minds on things in the heavens. Say, okay, now we're going to look at this from a heavenly perspective. And here's who we're going to consider, the apostle. An apostle is a sent one. That's what it means. This apostle, Jesus, was sent from heaven. And he's the high priest of our confession. There is no one greater than the high priest. And his name is Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach in the Hebrew. Verse 2, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Him is the Father, the Creator. As Moses also was faithful in all his house, the Father Creator's house. So now we're talking about Yeshua is faithful to God, to his Father, to everything that was instructed of him to do, just as Moses was faithful over the Lord's house. So here the author is beginning to draw a parallel between Moses as a type and Yeshua. Okay? Jesus, Yeshua. Verse 3, for this one had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Who is this one? This one is Christ Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach had more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. So we're going to talk about the builder of the house than the house, rather than just the house. Verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Okay? So here he's saying that he who builds all things is God. God is the architect of the entire universe and of his house. Okay? And he has more honor than the house. He's saying that this Yeshua, who is God, is the builder of the house, so he has more honor than Moses. Okay? And verse 5, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. That is, Moses was God's servant over his house, and he was faithful. For a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. Now this is illustrated here, afterward. So here the author is saying, look, Moses was a steward, a servant over the house, God's house, and it was a testimony of what was coming, those things after this time had gone, where there was no more Moses tabernacle, okay? Because why? Because that it had been that the glory of the one who built the house and whose house we are built in, Yeshua, is greater than the servant, Moses. Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So Yeshua is a son over the house that we are, We are his house if we hold fast and rejoice of the hope firm to the end. And this is really, this kind of thinking as it goes from here to here to here, and it's circular. And you will find this begin to happen more and more throughout the progressive thought of this how Hebrews is laid out. It'll refer to this, and then it'll come back in another concentric circle. And here we have the wheels within the wheels that are illustrated around the throne of God. It's the Torah, what was, it will be, what has been, has become, and that all things are eternal. What goes around comes around, this kind of idea. That it's all woven together. Now, so then the exhortation comes to us to be faithful. Okay? Verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, that's today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is very important. This is a very important idea. What happened in the day of trial in the wilderness? That the people hardened their hearts. Even after they saw signs and wonders and miracles for 40 years. See, they did not enter into the promised land initially when they came out of Egypt because they heard the report from Joshua and Caleb. There are giants in the land, we can't take it. And so because of that, they were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay? Now this passage actually comes from Psalm 95. It says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the days of rebellion, in the days of trial in the wilderness. Okay, so what is this days of trials in the wilderness when your fathers tested me, though they saw my work for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation. When did they test me? Well, this is a reference to, and it's in Exodus 19 and Numbers 20, to the testing at the waters of Meribah. So let's look at what happened, because we don't want to test the Lord. We want to see exactly what God means. Numbers 20, verse 7, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give them drink to the congregations and their animals. Well, what happened before this? They didn't have any water. And the people of Israel were contending with Moses. Oh, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Oh, why have you brought us out into the wilderness? Why should our animals die? Why did you make us come out of Egypt? There's no grains or vines or figs or pomegranates. Wah, wah, wah. Okay. And they were contending and arguing with Moses. Why did you do these things? After they had seen God's signs and wonders. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. And this rock, this speaking to the rock, was a type of Jesus, the rock that comes out of him, would come living waters, that we should slack our spiritual thirst. 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Now why did this rebuke come from the Lord to Moses? Because he struck the rock. He struck in anger. And this showed a lack of faith. He tested. So they tested God and Moses. So we're talking about a faith issue. They had seen signs and wonders and all these evidences of miraculous provision for 40 years. They saw him and they tested God. So he was angry with that generation. We do not want to do this. We do not want to complain. Say, God, why did you do this? Why did you give me that? We want to be thankful and appreciative. And he said, they always go astray in their heart. We don't want to go astray. And they have not known my ways. We want to know God's ways. Why? So we can not come under the wrath of God. Because he swore in his wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Because we want to enter the rest of the Lord. And we are going to really discuss what the rest of the Lord is. The rest of the Lord. So we do not want to test God. We want to hear his voice and not harden our hearts. God said he would provide. He'll provide. He said he's the way. He brought water out of the rock. He will do this. So you be faithful. Verse 12, so beware, brethren, lest any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. 13, so don't turn away from God. Say, oh, I want to go back to Egypt. What's back there? There's nothing back there. Egypt is the world, you know. We don't want to go back there. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So sin will harden our hearts. And we have to exhort and encourage one another and deal with the issues daily. Okay? 14. For if we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Okay? So we will, if he rebukes us, if he exhorts us, if he tells us, you know, you need to be faithful and not go astray in your heart and enter into the rest of God. Verse 16, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? All these people came out. All these people came out and they rebelled. Now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the desert? See, this is a church. We're talking the body. This is who Moses went up and had a wedding. He received the Torah from God, the wedding ketubah. He was married to these people. And they were rebellious. And they sinned. Sin is rebellion against God. And their corpses fall in the wilderness. And verse 18, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? His rest was his salvation, his house, the provision of his saving, as the captain of our salvation, saving us from our sins. And rebellion is going back to the sin. Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So they were in unbelief here because they argued with God that you can't do this. God, we want to go back to Egypt where we've got pomegranates and all this. We need water. Did you bring us out here to die? See, they were contending with Moses in unbelief and contending with God in unbelief after seeing signs and wonders and miraculous provision. And they tested God. They tested the Lord God Almighty. We don't want to do that. So let's start chapter 4, the promise of his rest. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Wow, so there's a promise of his rest and of entering his rest. So evidently there's more to our salvation process than just saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, I receive you as Lord. It seems that maybe it's an ongoing journey or pilgrimage through this life of being faithful and not turning away from this great gospel of salvation to the end. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So he's saying here, the author, the gospel was preached to them, and they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't believe in it. They moved into unbelief. They didn't believe that God could save them. They didn't believe that he could deliver them, even after they saw his hand and his miraculous works. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So those who do not mix it with faith and come out of Egypt and come out of the idolatry and want to go back to the fleshy ways, not believing God to be their full provision, who turn away through unbelief from the rest that God has, then they don't enter in. They turn away. They will not enter into the full provision, because God will swear in his wrath, they will not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the earth. Okay? Although, do you hear that? The works of God were finished from the foundation of the earth. When God laid the foundations of the earth and put, he had the plans, the architectural plans for the entire house, for the foundations of the entire earth and all of the ages to come. And he knows what he is doing. Verse 4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. Now, what does this mean, the seventh day? Well, when God created the earth, he created it in 7 days, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his works. So that he's talking about the rest of the Lord, resting in what God has ordained and has already set before us by faith, without unbelief. 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. So some of us are still going to come in, and there are some who are not going to enter in because of their disobedience to God. Verse 7, and he designates a certain day, saying in David, Psalm 91, today. So at David's time, he said, today, enter in. And after such a long time as it has been said today, at the time of the writing of Hebrews, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And that's today also. If you hear God's voice and you hear Yeshua, the Christ, calling you into this gospel of salvation, you need to enter in today. Don't harden your hearts and turn away. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear your voice, don't harden your heart. Don't be rebellious. Don't test God. Come in and surrender to the creator of the universe and the provision of salvation from your sins in Yeshua. Verse 8. Now this is interesting. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would have not spoken of another day. Joshua. Well, let's read it in Joshua 22. It talks about the cities of the Levites and the eastern tribes returning. And then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, hath commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. So here, first of all, okay, you've kept the commandments. You have not left your brethren these many days up to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren. So they inherited the promised land here. They took possession and began to build old cities and dwell there. Now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So this is the rest of the Lord: to keep the commandment, the Torah, to love God, the wedding contract, the love ketubah that God gave Moses, and then commanded them to be faithful to the commandments of the Lord. It's being faithful to God. And a lot of these people who died in the wilderness, it says here, those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, how did they fall in the wilderness? Well, in Numbers 22 through 24, it talks about the where Balaam, the false prophet, came and prophesied to them. And they went into the sin of idolatry and sexual immorality, and they ate food sacrificed to idols. That was their sin. The Moabites set Balak, the son of Zipporah, was king at the time, and he sent Balaam in to try to curse them, the Israelites, and Balaam couldn't. So how did he get God to curse them? He got them into sin. They opened their doors, and he got them into sin. He brought them into sin. And because of that, their sin got, they turned away. They were unfaithful to their Creator. They were like a whore. They went into idolatry, and therefore they perished in the wilderness. So, but those that were faithful in Joshua here, they were given rest after their warfare was done. They entered into the promised land and took their possession of it. The things that God had given them, as they were diligent to keep the commandment to love God. It's really, so this rest of the Lord, it speaks about obedience and yieldedness as a betrothal to God, not to turn away from him no matter what happens. He has it ordained your life from the foundations of the earth. And that rest is he will speak to you and lead you and show you his ways. So, therefore, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. So us, God has our lives ordained according to his plan. 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. So we no longer have to make anything a work. We don't have to create anything or do anything. We have to enter into the provision of God to be faithful to him, and he will lead and guide us, and he will bring his works in our lives to pass that he has determined is our portion for this life. And then as we are faithful, we will come back to this place where the heavenly calling, we will become partakers of the heavenly calling, and we will possess our inheritance eternally, because we will be saved out of the wilderness of times of testings and our sins. Verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone, according to the same examples of disobedient. So here he says, we need to really pay attention, and we don't need to fall away from God. We need to be faithful, and to the rest of God, be faithful to that provision of salvation, that we can trust God to bring us through this pilgrimage of the wilderness. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is an incredible scripture. I have used this, memorized this particular passage for years, and it is a scripture that the Holy Spirit has brought life to me. And because you store the Word of God in your heart, you come into the Word being part of your DNA and your flesh, and it changes your life. Then this Word becomes living and powerful, and it pierces. You begin to have perceptions of what is soulish, okay, and what is the soulish part, carnal, and what is spiritual, what comes from the Spirit of God and the soul of man. And of the joints and marrow, it just rightly divides, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And this is a scripture we often use in discerning of spirits or spiritual warfare and counseling over heart issues, that the Word of God has the ability to do this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So this word, this Torah that was given to us, these commandments of God, which Yeshua is the fulfillment of, and that is our salvation, in keeping His laws and commandments, of loving God and walking with Him and not coming into sin where we would be destroyed, not turning away, but being faithful, because we will give an account. All things are naked and open. Everything that people say and do and think in their hearts, God has knowledge of this. And the Word of God discerns it and quickens it and will pierce through. And you can see, as you mature in this Word of God becomes living in you, God will enable you to perceive this also in others, because you have been obedient and faithful to hear His voice and continue with Him no matter what the testings were or the trials in the wilderness. His provision was there. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, I thank You and I praise You for the rest of the Lord. Oh, for the provision to be faithful and obedient, that You would release this in the hearers, the ears of the hearers, that they would hear and follow through with the commands of the Lord to love the Lord their God with all their heart, might, and strength, and soul. And this is the first commandment, and out of this springs everything else, our love and relationship with You. Father, I thank You for this teaching session. I pray that You bless the hearers and bring forth the faithful rest of the Lord and the provision of Your hand in their lives, and through in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, by the Ruach Kodesh. That's what the Spirit of God says to us. Amen. Goodbye now. This has been produced by Kathleen Pearl, www.kdpirlpearlministries.org. Please feel free to share these links, copy them with others. Please keep them intact with the context of the teaching. God bless you and provide for you in every way. Goodbye now.